I will watch to see what he will say to me. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 122. It's April 11, 2015. Today we're continuing our search through the Scriptures as quickly as we can to talk about and find those people who were called of God to do a particular job, so that we can listen in to see how men are called to serve the Lord and perhaps gain some insights about what we should be doing, how we should be, what we should expect from God ourselves. We just never know what He might do. We're up to the book of Micah and chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Micah. We talked about that yesterday, how that phrase is used in so many of these men. This is God speaking to them and giving them a message. Has God given you a message? Do you have the word of the Lord inside of you? Is there something that burns inside of you that you just want to tell other people? That's supposed to be the norm for God's people. Not that you would be a great orator somewhere, although you might, but that you have something you want to say to someone. That should be what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in all of us. In chapter 3, verse 8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. He was filled with God. That's the call of God. Get filled with Him. Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Ask God to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. How about Nahum? Look at Nahum. What's it start out with? Chapter 1 of Nahum talks about a burden again. The burden against Nineveh. Those burdens, and that's a good Bible word, and it's used quite a bit. It means an oracle. It means a prophecy. It's just something that's inside of you. And I think it's a good word for us because it literally is something that's heavy upon us. Oh, I say it burns sometimes. Also, it can be a heaviness that you just feel you should be saying something to someone. Maybe it's heavy because you don't want to go say it, but it can become a burden. It's a good kind of burden. It's the kind of burden that we bear and share with Jesus when He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. But we don't have the burden of the world, but we do have a burden. We do have something that we carry with Christ, and He still wants to get His message out throughout the earth. And so He puts that responsibility, that sense of I've got to do something inside of all of His people. Look at Habakkuk that we started out with. Also a burden, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. And he makes this a matter of prayer. This is how your calling process may begin too, that God will give you something to say, and then you're going to start dealing with the Lord. Lord, how long shall I cry and you not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause? So you're getting burdened down with all the stuff that God is showing you, but you don't know what to do about it. You don't know where to go with it. And then chapter 2, he says, I will stand my watch, I'll set myself on the rampart, and I'm going to watch to see what He will say to me. I'm just going to watch, I'm going to wait, I'm going to listen, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Are you waiting? Are you in that special place waiting for God to say to you, this is what it's about, this is where you're to go? Just get ready now. If you don't know where you're supposed to go or how, you don't have to just go out and wander around. Get ready through prayer and learning more and more of God's Word. Just let it fill you, totally fill you. It's not a magical thing. Not a magical thing. It's something where you're going to sit down with God in you. You're going to be saying, Lord, speak to me in this book. Speak to me in chapter after chapter. Speak to me. Let your Word come alive in me. Let it dwell richly in me. In Zephaniah, the next book of the Bible, Zephaniah prophesied during the days of Josiah. Events during Josiah's reign were very difficult. Josiah's parents, Josiah's children. I mean, Josiah was just the good man in the middle. Everybody else around him was evil, and Zephaniah was the one who was called alongside to help the king. What is perhaps this is a part of your calling, to come alongside your pastor, to come alongside people at your work, to be a counselor for them, to show them the truth of God. You won't be the leader yourself necessarily, but you're going to come alongside and lead someone else. That could be your calling too. I have no idea what your calling is. I'm giving you as many options as I can see in all these different men that are called. Events in your life, and look at the events in our world today. Are those events being used to lead you to pray and then lead you to do something? Could the call of God be in the news around you? Go to God about that for sure. But it could be that the first thing that drove you to prayer about all this was when you saw all the evil in your world. God, what can I do? What must I do? What is to be done now? And that leads God to be able to refine the call in you and be very specific with you. And then the last two, Haggai and Zechariah, are prophets during the days of Zerubbabel, the leader of Israel, who was called to come back and build that temple again. These two prophets were to stir up the people of God so that they would work with Zerubbabel and work with Ezra and so on. And you see the struggles in this book and in the Ezra-Nehemiah story of the coming back. And they needed God's men to help restore, to help rebuild. Well, is that your thing? Is that what God is leading you to do, to be a support for the rebuilding of the kingdom of God? And it has fallen apart in so many places. Is your job to stir up the people of God? Maybe you're not to be the evangelist to the world. Maybe the church needs to hear from you, because the church is in shambles, so much of it, in the western part of the world. I don't know the rest of the world. I do know what I'm seeing here, and I've seen much in many, many years of being in the church and a part of the church and working in the church and seeing the world around me all these years. You can't help but see that there's a great need in our world today, and a great need for God's men like you to rise up and prophesy to the church and to preach to the world. Situations can create the call of God. Malachi, I don't know why I didn't. I said the last two were Haggai and Zechariah. My goodness, I am getting a little stale here. What's up with that? Malachi, the burden comes again. The burden and the question and answers of Malachi. Wonderful book. We don't see much about his call, except that he prophesied during the days of Nehemiah, and what I said about the other guys could be said about this one too. I think we've done enough in the Old Testament. We move right across the page there, and here we are suddenly in a new world. Well, it doesn't totally become new until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but still, it's called the New Testament, and Jesus is suddenly on the scene. Do we have to talk about the call of God upon Jesus? When did he know? When did he know? How young was he? We know that at 12 years old, he was about his father's business. He seemed to know even then. He is God. I understand he is God. But he wasn't this mythical God that the Roman Catholics and others have talked about, the little stories that they tell about when he's playing with the children when he's young, and he makes a little clay animal like everybody else makes animals out of clay, but his clay animal, a bird, flies away. We're not talking about that. This is a God who laid everything down, became a man, and was raised as men are raised in the Jewish faith at that time of history. And the call of God was upon him. He knew something very young, and that grew and grew. And I don't believe Jesus was informed about everything all at once. That's why he had to pray like we have to pray. He was placed here as a model for us, among other things. I know he's the Savior, please. I know he rose from the dead. I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about the rest of it, an example. An example. He was living the kind of life that he calls us to live, and we can't offer any excuses. We have the same potential as he did. Even though he was God, he didn't think being equal with God was something that he had to grasp, because he already had it. He had equality, and so he became a man. He hadn't been a man up till then. He had been God. Now he's a man living as men live, and the call of God came to him in the same way it can come to us. Now, it was more dramatic, for sure. But within him, throughout those years, do we hear audible voices coming from heaven during the ministry of Jesus? Yes, sometimes, but not all the time. And herein is our example, that we can also be led by that inner voice of the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. Father, Son, and Spirit were in this person, no question, and he could hear from within what he was supposed to do and say in a given moment of time and place. And Jesus was called to die. Your calling is not going to be like his, except, yes, we die. We're called to die to ourselves and to be martyrs with him, but we will never save the world through our death. That's already been done. There's some ministries already been done. You don't get to do those. But Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and that's another thing that we will do. So much of the call that's on Jesus is on us. We're going to watch Jesus now as he calls his disciples. Let's start that today. We'll perhaps be able to wrap that up tomorrow. We start in Matthew in chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Look at it. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, Peter and Andrew. They're fishing. And he simply tells them, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And it says that right there, they dropped everything. Now, as we read through the scriptures, book of John in particular, we see a little more of the story that perhaps these men had seen him at work before. He had seen them before. There was other interactions with them, perhaps. But there came a point in time when he said to them, "You come," and they came. That's the important thing to know. There'll come a time in your life, though you've heard about Jesus, and Jesus has definitely heard about you, there'll come a point and time in your life when Jesus will simply say to you, "Are you going to follow me or not? Will you follow me?" And you've got to make a decision. You'll be making the decision now. You can tell him now, "I will follow you." When you have that thing for me that you want me to do, there won't be any discussion, there won't be any conversation. I'm just going to drop everything and I'm going to go. Have you told him that? That's something that makes him very happy when we tell him we will go to the cross for him. We will. Now, the disciples all said that they would do that. And even here, when the disciples left everything to follow Jesus, they really meant business, but they didn't know what the business was going to be and how hard this business was going to be when it finally came into fruition. The first two disciples, for sure. And then later on, in verse 21, he sees two other brothers, James and John. He calls them, and they left their boat and their father and followed him. Call of God. Are you listening? Some of us waiting for this wonderful thing that, because we just know we're supposed to do this thing, right? And so we're excited about it, and we're just waiting for the moment when God will say, and you were ready to say yes, but we have not sometimes counted the cost, nor imagined where that call might lead, that is, how that call might have to be fulfilled. It might have to be in another nation that you're not too comfortable with. But it's still the call of God on you, and you won't be happy until you have done that thing. You may have to go through some very difficult circumstance to get to the place where God wants you to be. These guys left their father. Are you willing to leave any member of your family? Are you willing to leave every part of your business behind you, that's causing you to make money and be successful? I didn't say everybody has to do that. I'm saying, are you willing to? Could you lay it down? What else is there in your life that's standing between you and the call of God? Are you really, really willing to lay it down, to give it up. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were willing. They were willing. So we've got the first four disciples in, and that's all the time we're going to have today. We'll have to get the rest of the disciples tomorrow. And you can be ready with Matthew 9:9 when we talk about that tomorrow. Hey, it's good to have you all the time. I hope that you will subscribe to this podcast so that it'll just come to you regularly. Just go to that little button there. There's an orange button, I think it is, yeah, at the top of that page you're looking at. And then just click on iTunes when that comes up. It'll come to you regularly. Thank you for tuning in. I hope to talk with you again soon. Don't forget Habakkuk 2:2. Maybe this will be you. I will watch to see what he will say to me. Amen.